is with deepest pride and greatest pleasure that we welcome you tonight.
Welcome to the Attractions Podcast. You are all clear for dispatch. Have fun. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 54 of the Attractions Podcast. I'm Brittany.
And I'm Seth.
And we're here to talk to you about the latest and greatest theme park news and more, as well as what's going on in our own lives. So, Seth, if you would, explain for the folks watching and listening where you are right now.
So I am not actually this purple in real life. I'm just bathed in the eerie glow of Hallow Screen here at Busch Gardens at Tampa. This was opening week for their Halloween event. Obviously, the big Universal event up the road at night was canceled, but here in Tampa, they have pushed ahead, and they don't have indoor haunted houses, but they do have outdoor scare zones and an outdoor live show and lots of atmosphere and beer. So I'm just enjoying the roller coasters, if nothing else, the opportunity to ride Sheikra, and I got to ride Tigress for my first time, and
ooh.
Oh my gosh, that one is intense. Yeah, it's, you know, it might not be the fastest or the tallest, but when you go through that Heartline roll at the very top going about 0 miles per hour, and you have nothing but the shoulder harness keeping you from plummeting to your death. Yeah, that was a scary one. I'm glad I did that. So.
That's a great sell. makes me want to ride.
But actually, the highlight of my week, as much fun as this is right now, the highlight of my week was actually getting to interview two of my favorite people in Orlando, Patrick Brouillard and Kim Grommel, who are veterans of Halloween Horror Nights and are putting together a new Halloween event called the Orlando Forum of Fear on iDrive that opens up next week. I got to do an interview with them and talk about how this came together. They basically did the kind of work that they take a full year to do at Halloween Horror Nights and did it in 6 weeks to come up with an original haunt. And it sounds really, really cool. The things that they've got planned for it sound really interesting. I've got an article about that in the Orlando Weekly last week. So it was really great getting to talk to them. And that starts next week.
I'm really excited to see how that turns out. I hope that they have like a media day and we get to go film or people vlog it. Cause that's how I live through these events is I watch vlogs.
You're having a vicarious Halloween.
Exactly. Well, the highlight of my week was we started decorating for Halloween. Went and bought, I can't tell you how many pumpkins. And some of the Hocus Pocus licensed decor from Spirit Halloween. Some of it's really cool. They had a severed head, Billy head, that Josh really wanted to get and put out in the front yard with the tombstone. I was like, no, someone's going to steal it. But we might go back and get that one later. But other than that, it's just been kind of a chill week, taking care of the pup. Getting used to cone life. He's in the cone for another week. So.
Oh, yeah. Is
yeah.
he been good?
No.
No?
No. He's
See,
like
we were
doctor-
able to take our guy out of his cone for short periods of time if we watched him.
Yeah.
But no, he can't be unsupervised, huh?
Yeah, well, he's got stitches from toe to tail. So, yeah. Poor baby. But he'll be fine. One more. If we can make it through this next week, by next week's podcast, he will be out of the coney.
Just a couple of days off.
Yeah. But let's get into the news. All right. First up, Legoland California is planning some Halloween fun, even though the park hasn't reopened yet. Following suit of Knott's Berry Farm and the like, they're offering Halloween in Miniland, where guests can visit the park in their costumes for safe, spooky fun every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday this October, when Miniland USA will become a spooky Halloween destination packed with decorations and more. You can meet characters like Lord Vampire, Rockin' Frankenstein, and Lego Pirate. You can do a family-friendly Lego pumpkin build that you can see right here. and have a scavenger hunt in Miniland's city-themed areas for to hunt and find cute little things. So this is just the latest in California Parks' attempts to open without reopening.
Right. You know, they're doing a kind of a slightly more full-fledged Halloween event at the Legoland here in Florida. But I'm fascinated about how the Southern Californian theme parks, pretty much all of them except for Disneyland, have been trying to figure out anything they can to operate their theme parks without actually counting as a theme park in order to comply with the regulations in California. This actually looks like a really fun event. I personally don't go to Legoland parks for the rides because I can't really fit in them all that well. But I would definitely go to see the Minilands decked out, and more importantly, to get those apple fries.
Again. Oh my gosh!
Say what you will about Dole Whips and churros. The apple fries are a true icon theme park food and not to be missed. So that is definitely more trick than treat.
Yes, for sure. But if you are in the California area and you're looking for something to do this Halloween, check this out and let us know how it is. Over at SeaWorld San Diego, they have launched the Best Benefits Ever annual pass, which will allow the pass holders to visit the park for all of 2021, as well as the rest of 2020. And be among the first to ride Emperor when that opens, because it was supposed to open this year and it got pushed back to spring of next year, I believe. I think it's spring. So, hey. And the payment plan starts as low as $9 per month, which if you think about annual pass payments in Florida, it's a really good deal.
Absolutely. SeaWorld parks have always been known for having things like the fun cards that are a really good value in terms of annual passes. But this, you know, they're really going all out. They're basically saying, please give us money now and you can keep coming back for the next year or whatever. Just please give us some money now. It also looks like 2021 is going to be a great year for coaster fans. There's going to be a lot of pent-up coasters that have gotten pushed back from 2020, and going to be a lot of people taking trips around the country to get all those credits next year.
Yeah, I can only imagine the crowd that will show up at Busch Gardens for Iron Gwazi when that thing finally opens.
Oh my God. Saw the Fiends show here tonight at Busch Gardens for Hollow Scream, and the field where that is taking place this year is directly behind Gwazi, and my brain can't wrap itself around some of those turns. Some of those bends, I just don't see how a roller coaster is supposed to stay on those tracks. It's almost like someone took a big coat hanger and just bent it to a shape and said, build that. It's really exciting. I can't wait to see cars start making their way across that circuit.
Oh man, I can't wait for that. I wonder if it'll be as traumatic as Shikra was for me, because that ride was something else. Over at Aulani, they have announced a phased reopening starting on November 1st. This comes after the announcement that travelers to Hawaii will have new testing opportunities for COVID-19, which makes it safe for them to reopen this destination. So, good to see Disney stuff opening back up again.
I personally would love to say aloha to Aulani. I could use a tropical vacation. How about you, right?
yeah, that's an understatement.
And from what I understand, they're almost going to treat Aulani like a bubble. You know, I don't know if to the same extent as the NBA, but you know, I don't imagine that most Aulani guests spend a lot of time straying outside of Disney property into the local neighborhoods. So it already is kind of a bubble that you're in. I'm sure they don't want people from the mainland bringing infections over there. But it's great to hear that they finally feel safe enough to start reopening their doors.
Yeah, maybe we'll get an Olu meet and greet over there too.
That sea turtle is going to make it all the way around the world. We're going to have him in Orlando before you know it.
Please. I would love that. I'm here for that. Speaking of places where the Duffy friends are, Hong Kong Disneyland reopened a couple days ago with that incredible new castle.
Is it now? I don't know if the castle is completely finished yet, but the photos of it, it's just crazy. They took the original, you know, tiny little Sleeping Beauty castle and plunked another two or three castles on top of it. It's pretty incredible. I would love to see it in person, but I don't think that Hong Kong is really accepting guests with American passports at the moment.
Yeah, I would love to also see it in person. I also love how they have this mountainous backdrop up against it. I feel like it really just adds to the whole mystical fairy tale vibes of this ginormous castle. I want to know, like, how, if it's as tall as Cinderella Castle or taller. I don't know what the light rules are over there.
Yeah, I'm curious about the statistics on that. I'm also curious how it's going to go. This is, as far as I know, the first Disney theme park that's only going to be open 5 days a week instead of 7 days a week.
Yeah.
Much like Volcano Bay or Universal Orlando, they're going to be shut down on Tuesdays and Thursdays. So really curious to see how long it takes before demand picks up enough again for them to become a 7 day a week park.
Yeah. And if you didn't know, this is the second time that Hong Kong has closed and reopened this year. They reopened back in July, I think, and they were open for maybe 2 weeks and then they closed again. So it's good to see them back open. I hope they stay open this time.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But it looks like they're staying nice and clean. They have selfie spots, which is something Disneyland Paris is doing. Seems to be working out pretty well.
And one interesting thing I noted was that out there, people who have annual passes, or I guess they call them magical passes there, they actually have an advantage. They get 8 days in advance reservations to make their required park reservations, where everyone else only has a week. So they definitely give their annual pass holders a little perk out there.
Nice. Speaking of Disneyland, we were talking about this earlier. This past week, when I was busy with Brody's surgery, the Disney Parks Experiences and Products had a webcast press event kind of thing where they talked about their ongoing health and safety measures, things that they've implemented at other parks. And they basically said, hey, we're ready. Let us reopen Disneyland.
Right. This was an interesting thing. They didn't quite phrase it as a press conference, but I think a lot of people thought that there was going to be some announcement that they were going to, say, give a date or say we're reopening. But this was pretty much them publicly begging the governor to tell them what to do. And we've also heard similar things from Knott's Berry Farm and other attractions in Southern California. They're willing to do whatever the government wants them to do to reopen. They just need clear direction. And it's interesting to compare and contrast the situation in Southern California with Governor Newsom versus the situation we have here in Florida with our governor and basically removing any and all restrictions. It's pretty much the exact mirror universe. The exact opposite is going on here in Florida. And in each case, the theme parks obviously are going to ultimately do what they think is best for the safety of their guests and their customers. But yeah, I know a lot of people in Disneyland who just want to get back to work at this point.
Yeah, that was a perfect segue you just did.
Whoa, yes.
Yeah, you perfectly led into
there
this.
There we go.
So this past week, Florida moved into phase 3 of its reopening plan. And long story short, phase 3 means bars and restaurants can operate at full capacity and theme parks can operate at full operations if they so choose to.
Sure. Yes. Sure. I believe the phrasing is normal operations with limited social distancing.
Yeah.
Not sure exactly what limited means. To be honest, this really came as a surprise for those of us in the media here in Orlando. We did not have a lot of advance notice.
Neither did the Orange County mayor. I watched his statement. He was like, I found out from a local business owner on the way over here.
Yep. Yep, I actually found out about it when I got called by a local news station asking for my comment about it. And I was like, I'm going to have to find out what you're talking about before I talk about it.
Oh, no.
But obviously not a lot of planning or coordination or advanced communication on this. And most of the, the people at theme parks, local business owners, they're pretty much treating this as it didn't happen. They're still social distancing. They're still, doing the health and safety stuff that they've been doing as they were doing. The theme parks, I believe, have explicitly said that they're not changing what they're doing yet. So I think this might throw out some confusion. This might make people think that the pandemic is over when it obviously is not. But I don't think it's going to change the day-to-day experience inside the parks for guests right now at all.
Yeah, we reached out to Disney and they said we are not making any immediate changes and reiterated that face coverings are still required at this time when visiting Walt Disney World. So at least we know that that is still a thing. Though I will say I was looking at maybe coming down in January and now I'm nervous too.
Well, that's the danger, that for every person who hears, oh, they're losing restrictions, I like that, I want to go. There's someone else who says they're loosening restrictions. I don't like that. I'm not going to go now.
Yeah.
It all comes down to who are you attracting and who are you pushing away? I think that if Florida is trying to encourage people from the Northeast or from other countries that it is safe to come back, that maybe the best way to do that is not to announce that it's a free for all and everyone can just do what they want.
It just seemed like they just threw everything out the wall and this is what stuck. And they were like, okay, we're good
parks,
now.
Theme parks about the illusion of safety, the art of reassurance of telling guests that everything is okay and they're going to be safe. And I don't think the theme parks, whatever happens outside the gate, whatever the governor says or doesn't say, I think the theme parks are going to do the things that they think will reassure their guests and keep them coming to the parks.
Yeah, I agree. Well, here's hoping that this goes well, I guess. We'll see. We'll have to see what
happens. Here's hoping.
Yeah.
We those of us who live in Florida, we live in hope every day.
Yep. Some sad news for those of you who love live performances of Walt Disney World. The Grand Floridian Society Orchestra is no more.
October 3rd, pay your final respects. Because, there aren't a lot of things in Orlando, especially, that last for over 30 years.
Yeah.
And especially since these are senior veteran musicians. These are not young kids. And they were asked to come out of furlough, to put on this show at Hollywood Studios with Disney Music. And, they came out of self-isolation. They put their health at risk to come back to work and put on this show. And now they're kind of being told pretty much unceremoniously, thanks so much for helping us out. Enjoy trying to file for unemployment. And it's, the Grand Floridian lobby certainly will never be the same place without them playing. That's for sure. No.
This just makes me so sad. I feel like we're just losing live entertainment left and right. And sure, the equity performers are slowly starting to trickle back in, which makes me happy. But it feels like a knife in the heart.
Yeah, and I can understand, these are people who have been with the company for over 30 years, some of them. Obviously, they're at the top of the pay scales. If you're looking at numbers on a spreadsheet, it makes sense to get rid of an expensive show that has a limited appeal, especially since the Grand Floridian is not going to be operating at maximum occupancy probably anytime soon. But it's still, it's a little bit of the history and tradition and the kind of non-Disney-fied thing. They weren't characters running around. They weren't Frozen. They didn't sell merchandise, but it was the kind of thing that people would talk about, having a drink at the Grand Floridian and listening to them play. And the kind of kind of memories that are not easy to make.
Yeah, and then on top of all that, a group of people who don't have jobs anymore in the middle of a pandemic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah, our hearts go out to those guys.
Yeah, and I hope that something, a miracle happens and Disney is able to bring them back, because it really won't be the same over there. Another Disney thing, last week they showed us some concept art of the revitalized, re-envisioned opening area for the Poly as the Grand Ceremonial House and the monorail station car loop will get refurbed pretty soon.
I am just hopeful that this is less controversial with the fans than the rehab of the interior lobby.
Yeah.
When the old rainforest that was in the lobby, the one that gave it that wonderful musty smell of 50-year-old mold, when that got torn out, people were not happy. But I'm hoping that this is maybe a little more respectful and more in keeping with the Polynesian that people know and love.
Yeah. This is expected to make its debut in time for the 50th anniversary of the hotel. We'll see if that happens. It will have a new covered entrance where vehicles can drive under, a high-pitched open truss thatch-style roof, and it will have a facade that features colors that are complementary to the longhouses throughout the resort, as well as fun geometric tropical patterns.
Yeah, and to be honest, the facade of the building never really matched the interior. It was always, I don't know, it kind of looked like a treehouse that your dad might have built in the backyard and painted brown. As long as there's still the water features, the tropical plants outside, I'll be happy.
Yeah, don't get rid of the water feature. Yeah. I didn't think about that till now. Now I'm scared.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't get
water
rid of it.
Water features are important.
Please. Maybe I'm fine without the one in the lobby because it made the lobby stinky. But unless they figure out a way to bring it back and it still smells nice, I'm open to that. We'll see. But it looks really cool. One of my bucket list resorts to stay at is the Poly, so I will be keeping an eye on this one. And last thing for news in the queue, we had a little bit of a oopsie. Well, it started out as a non-oopsie, and then it became an oopsie.
So when the same thing happens over and over again, at what point do we start thinking that maybe it's intentional? We should probably explain what we're talking about.
Okay, so last week, it appeared out of nowhere. Universal updated their Jurassic Park section of the website. I'll pull up a photo for you. And it mentions the Jurassic World Velocicoaster coming summer 2021. Plain as day.
That's capital D. Capital C coaster. But all
straight from the horse's mouth. It was legit. And maybe, I think it was up for like 30 minutes. Yeah. And then
it was so legit they had to quit.
Yeah. And everyone was like, oh, finally, it's not a nameless churro cart anymore. And then I went to go check it half an hour later and I was like, oh, it's just gone. Cool.
So this is yet another example of Universal's left hand having no clue what its right hand is doing. You would like to think that a major investment, what was basically going to be their first e-ticket attraction after the pandemic, that there would be a careful plan to coordinate exactly when you want to release information, but then someone in the IT department accidentally puts the wrong publish date on some page in the content management system, and all of a sudden the website has just broken embargo on the big secret that you've been trying to hold. I mean, at a certain point, it's not like this is the first. This happened with Bourne, and this happened with Hagrid, and this has happened over and over again. Like, I feel like this is the fourth time in a row that they had a major announcement just completely drop unintentionally. And this is not like, you know, Beyonce dropping an album out of the blue, but, you know, it's some careful. This is This is literally someone at the bottom rung of the totem pole accidentally pressing the wrong button at the wrong time.
So
the really interesting, other than the fact that this information went up and disappeared, so all of it could change. For all we know, that information was just a placeholder and was never intended to be seen by anyone. It was just sample text. But if we assume that it was correct, then the two surprising things to me are, one, it's actually going to be the Jurassic World Velocicoaster within Jurassic Park. So
yeah.
We've got that blend between the Jurassic Park and Jurassic World themes, which we already saw a little bit when the Raptor encounter opened with Blue. But now they kind of double down, saying Jurassic World, Jurassic Park, it's all good. It's a big stew. And also that it's scheduled to open summer 2021. And, you know, seeing how they have completed the track, that they're pushing through the cars, that they are doing rock work, I might have expected a spring 2021 date. But it looks like they're being a little more conservative and pushing it all the way back to summer. Yeah, it'll be interesting whether it'll just be a tweet saying, oh yeah, Velocicoaster, right? I mean, everyone knew about that, right? Or if there'll be some big rollout with a video on their YouTube and Facebook and everything. I got to think that, you know, this is going to be a first big coaster in town since the pandemic. I'm assuming they're going to want to get it out of the gate before Icebreaker opens in SeaWorld, because I know they're looking at 2021. So I'm sure we're going to hear plenty about this coaster when they're ready to talk about it. But I don't think they were actually ready to talk about it quite yet.
It definitely seemed a little anticlimactic to have it revealed in a website update that you wouldn't have caught.
Not their ideal situation.
Yeah. Sure. Although, as you said before, they could have just done this and then taken it down so that we would talk about it and it would be everywhere and they would get tons of free publicity. And
it could be genius just disguised that it's incompetence. I will grant them that. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. Say they're just too clever for us.
Right. Evil genius level marketing skills.
Mm-hmm.
But that is it for me for news in the queue. And for the main attraction this week, I thought we should discuss the Tokyo Disneyland elephant in the room.
Yes.
That
gorgeous, gorgeous castle that is not a tiny little dollhouse on top of a hill.
Look at her. She's beautiful. She's huge. Oh, man. So in case you don't know what this is the Fantasyland / Tomorrowland expansion over at Tokyo Disneyland. It soft opened to guests last week. It's supposed to open officially tomorrow, I believe. This expansion includes a Beauty and the Beast themed area. They have a Gaston's Tavern now, little shops. It's kind of like a little town set up there. The Fantasyland Forest Theater, which is not open yet, but it is there. And I'm very excited to see shows get performed in there. And then they also opened Minnie Mouse's first character meet and greet, solo character meet and greet over there, called Minnie Style Studio, as well as a ride called The Happy Ride with Baymax and The Big Pop, which is a specialty popcorn store that is apparently very well loved over there.
Well, popcorn was already the thing out in Tokyo. Mm-hmm. And you'd see people line up outside of the carts in the streets for miles. So it's about time that they have a dedicated store. But we've got to talk about this Beauty and the Beast trackless dark ride, because that is the centerpiece of all this. And I'm only aware right now of one POV video that I believe is from Disney File. Is that the YouTube user who posted it? So I think a lot of people are basing their opinions of it based on this one video that's been going around.
I believe I think I found a second one. I remember watching it from a different POV. I'll have to find it again. But I watched the Disney File version first, and I cried. It gave me goosebumps. It was like, if it Rise of the Resistance, but like a classic Disney dark ride. It was beautiful, so many modern and yet classic effects, like the trapdoors on the table, and oh man, it was just so good. And it's short-ish, but like not short at the same time. But it's just so fun. It really feels like you are a part of that story and not just kind of riding by vignettes of it, like Little Mermaid.
Well, I think the interesting thing about this ride, and I'm basing this like everyone else who's not been to Tokyo yet on the videos, but the pacing I feel is very different from what you would see in an American theme park ride. I feel like maybe audiences in Japan have more patience and more appreciation for something that takes time and lets you linger over details. And also, they love shows. They love musical performances. And this to me is more less of a ride where you're the character surviving an adventure and more like being a chorus member in Beauty and the Beast the musical, where you get to be dancing on stage while the leads are singing. That's really what it feels to me, that you are, you know, you get to be one of the dancing plates, you know, in Be Our Guest. And it's almost participatory in the sense that, you know, you're kind of like another character on the stage, but you're not trying to be Belle or be the Beast, see it through their eyes. It's really more of kind of like a celebration. In a lot of ways, it feels more like something like the Festival of the Lion King show than a traditional dark ride that's just trying to tell the story.
Yeah. Would you mention the pacing of it? I think the best example of that is the Something There sequence, where you go outside and you're skating on the ice in your dancing bowl, and Belle and Beast are singing pretty much the entire song to you as you're spinning around this room. And it's not just you roll in for 15 seconds and then you roll out. You're in there for a long time. And
it's worth noting that the video that's been going around, there's a stall in that video. The people are in that scene for significantly longer than they would have normally. They kind of, you can see the scene kind of times out at the end, and they go into a stall mode because of something that must have happened further along in the ride. So look for another ride through video before you totally judge the pacing of that. But it definitely is, it takes the time in those moments, and it lets you really soak in instead of just zipping through a scene.
Yeah, I think another highlight for me was the pre-show. The pre-show is insane.
Tokyo knows how to do pre-shows, and the animatronic Belle and Beast in that, and it's such a massive room. It's like that would be like a centerpiece of another ride, and it's just a pre-show there.
It made me think a lot of the load area for Phantom Manor post refurb, with like the big stair in the middle.
Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah. But
and also reminded me a little of Symbolica at Efteling, which is another trackless dark ride. It's got a lot of things in common.
Another thing that just blew my mind, and I think I watched the video like another 10 times to try to figure it out, was they actually show the transformation sequence.
Oh, that transformation.
Yeah. Animatronics. And
but,
it's
you know,
crazy.
There's a Pepper's ghost in there somewhere, but I can't exactly figure out which is the projections and which is the real. It's so seamless. It's a really beautiful moment.
It's so good.
But to me, the thing that really dropped my jaw is the waltzing, the movement of the feet on those animatronics in that final scene where you finally get to the Beauty and the Beast, the title song. And these animatronics are in the middle of the room waltzing, and it's not just, you know, the animatronic Snow White dancing with Dopey at the end of Seven Dwarfs, where they just kind of bounce up and down on a stick and you can't see anything below the waist. You can see his feet, and he's really, you know, doing a three-step, and it's just so perfectly smooth. I don't know how they program that.
I don't know. It's just, it's such a testament to what Imagineering can do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I love that the animatronics are not the ones with projected backlit faces. I know those were very trendy for a few years, but they never quite match, especially as soon as those bulbs get a little bit dull. It always looks kind of creepy. These animatronics, they have perfect facial expressions. You know, you get all of the emotion, the faces, but they're not the those washed out projections, and they're just fantastic.
Yeah, like, look at her. It looks just like the movie, but in three dimensions. It's incredible. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad that they went with physical faces instead of rear projected, because I just think of that viral photo from Frozen Ever After where, like, her face shut down and it's like the blue screen of death.
Blue screen of death, yes. Yeah, it's like something out of Westworld. You don't want to do that to the kiddies.
No. But if I ever wanted to go to Tokyo, and I do a lot, this makes me want to go so much more.
I said, and between this and Nintendo in Osaka, I think we've all got to take a trip out there as soon as they reopen the doors to Americans. Which
you hear that?
for Floridians, it might take a while.
Yeah. Matt, if you're listening, work trip.
Yes.
And I mean, Tokyo, on top of that, this makes me wonder what we have in store for the Tokyo DisneySea expansion, the Fantasy Springs that's supposed to come over the next few years.
You know, they haven't talked a lot about how their plans might change in the wake of COVID. But they definitely, you know, definitely some ambitious projects still on the board in Tokyo. And as we know, you know, the owners of Tokyo Resort are willing to put down the money. They're willing to invest, even sometimes when Disney themselves is not.
As you can see, they put their money where their mouth is.
Mm-hmm.
But man, I can't wait to go there. If we could travel, I'd be planning a trip right now.
Oh, well, I can't wait till we can all start planning trips again.
Right? That'll be a wondrous day. Now, before we go, I would like to give some listener thank you, some listener shout outs.
Yes.
If you did not know, you can purchase a subscription to Attractions Magazine at attractionsmagazine.com/store. We have three levels, so you can pick which one works best for you. And if you pick club or VIP, the week after you subscribe, you will have your name shared aloud in a shout out here on the Attractions Podcast. So without further ado, Michael Murphy and Melissa Webster, thank you so much for being a subscriber. We really appreciate it. You help keep this little train moving.
Thank you.
Thank you so, so much. And Melissa Webster subscribed today just before the show, so I threw you in.
Perfect timing. Thank you, Melissa.
And if you would like to find more theme park news, especially stuff that you won't get on the website, you can pick up our fall 2020 issue. It's available now also at attractionsmagazine.com/store.
And there's an awesome article about the Jason Bourne show that someone might have written.
Oh, someone.
Thank you.
We're keeping our sources secret here. Now, Seth, if you would tell everybody where they can find you on the interwebs.
Yes, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at the UG series or at S. Kuberski. And you can find my blog at theunofficialguides.com.
And you can find me at Brittany Tuttle. That's BRITTANITUTTLE. Yes, it's spelled funny on Twitter and Instagram, as well as attractionsmagazine.com every day at attractions on Twitter, at attractionsmagazine on Instagram, and youtube.com/attractionsmagazine, where you're watching this if you're joining us for the video version, which we do every Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern. Come hang out.
Please.
It's fun. I promise. That seemed not very good. But I promise it's fun.
I believe you.
Yeah. But until next week, I hope you guys stay safe, wear your masks, wash your hands, but most of all, have fun out there. We'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.